Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right? Love you too. Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. It's head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Enough.
Wow. 13, how many long we been together?
13 very long years.
And how long we been married?
6.
We did it while we was married.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Put the stereotypes to shame. Black folks can't have children while married. See, it works. It really works. Wait until you say I do. Trust me. Yes, guys, we're happy to be back, man. It has been...
It's been bittersweet.
Yes, it has been a crazy 2 weeks. And, you know, I think one of the last times that we was on, we had asked everyone to pray for my grandmother. But the Lord made his choice. The Lord decided that it was best for her to be there with him, the family members that went on before her. And she passed away July 3rd, and we were very saddened. But before she passed, she left us one last jewel. And that was 2 days later we found out that Tiff was with child. So when one life is extinguished, the other one is illuminated. And so it's a bittersweet. Tiff chose the right word. It is tremendous to be sad and happy at the same time. It makes you almost want to run out and get some back. But this is good type of feeling. And so it has been tremendous. We had a tremendous homegoing service for her. I did exactly what she asked me. I was to say a few words over her body, which was one of the toughest things that I have had to do and one of the toughest things that I had to write, but we got through that. So now, fast forwarding to today, we had our first sonogram, our first doctor's visit. I'm just the chauffeur.
Well, basically, as KL mentioned, 2 days after funeral, I decided to test my... I tell women all the time, pay attention to your body and recognize when you see changes, recognize some changes. So I lost count how many tests I've been in the past 7 years because Gail and I actually lost it. But between now and then, I can't even begin and have been disappointed. So this time around, I made a joke, actually.
Wait a minute. She ain't tell you about the sad faces every time we'd have a conversation about children. She would just straight give me the emotional blackmail like,
no.
Listen, old man, you better stop shooting these blanks.
one thing I tried to do very hard is not let it take an emotional toll on us because I've heard of certain couples have marriages have ended, and I enjoy my marriage. I love my husband, and I did not want this, our difficulty in conceiving, to be anything or downfall to our marriage. I tried. My sad times, yes, because of disappointments. I was ready for us to have children. I'm ready to be a mom. I'm a stepmom, but I'm ready to actually go through the process of sadness. But the day that I took the test, I took it with, I would say, not expectation of a positive test. So when the test was positive, I was in shock. I couldn't even talk. I handed
Talk about that day.
AL was sitting at his computer, and I handed him his, and he started crying. So I started crying. So we're sitting here crying for a few minutes and not really saying anything to each other. And then I went outside to get some air. And about 20 minutes later, I came back. I picked up the test off his table, and I showed it to him. And he looked at it. He said, "What's that?" And I said, "What do you mean? I said, you didn't look at it?" He said, "You're pregnant?" I said, "Oh, my God, what were you crying for?"
I was emotional about my grandmother. And at that point, I had been holding all the anger, sadness, and whatever inside because I had to be a rock for my mother and for the family and other that. So after holding all that inside, I needed to let it out. So I had played some music. I think it was Jill Scott and DMX and that grandma song. I dug that. I never even saw her put the stick. And now that I think about it, she peed on that stick and was actually on my desk. So I got to wipe my desk down. But anyway, I didn't even see that she had handed me the stick. I was caught up in the emotion of that. And when she kissed me on my head, and walked away. I thought it was just her consoling me about being emotional. So when she came back and showed me the stick, now I got to get emotional about this. So now I got to amp that up. And anybody that say that men shouldn't cry, punch them in the face. Because you know what? I couldn't stop crying. Because in one instant, I'm emotional about my grandmother. In the next instant, I'm happy, overly happy for Tiff. And let me explain something to you. Everyone who knows, everyone understands from my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, I talk about my situation with my other kids. Yes, I have 6 children with 5 different women. It's what prompted Tiff and I to live our lives out loud, to create the Making Marriage Cool Again movement, because we want folks to understand that you make mistakes, but you can grow from them and become something strong from it. We gave our lives to the Lord before we even got married. So the miscarriage actually happened before we were even married. And so we dedicated our lives to trying to improve the lives of others, to show that marriage is something solid. So to see her be blessed, us be blessed, finally, when I know it's something that she wanted. I started to understand how painful it was when people would say, when y'all going to have a baby? What y'all waiting on?
Oh,
as
goodness.
If they're actually sitting there going, no, we're not going to have a baby.
We're not going to do it right now.
And I knew what that did. Tiff, and any of you guys that are out there that know bowlers, when you're bowling, there's a baby split. And that's called making a baby when you pick that split up. So people always make some type of baby comment. If you're older, way too old to make a baby. If it's a female, come on, girl, there's still a baby left in there. But sometimes people in their lightheartedness don't understand that they're really stabbing at a very sensitive. Tiff and I would always laugh it off, but I understood. She understood. That stick meant so much, but then that's just the initial. That's just the, okay, you put on it, the light, the thing turned double minus or whatever it is.
Double plus,
whatever it is. But now it's, we need to hear from a doctor.
Oh, actually, we took the test twice. So
yeah, we took the test twice. She was just putting pee all over the place. She was peeing on everything.
I didn't believe the first test, so the next day
she peed on a ruler and just wanted to see what was going to happen. I said, what are you doing? I just walking around peeing on things like a puppy. She was just peeing to see if it turned to a plus.
So when we went to the doctor today, I was basically, I knew that I was pregnant. I was going through the symptoms. I was feeling everything that you go through when you're in your first trimester. And basically, going to the doctor to just confirm what I already knew. Oh my goodness, we had our sonogram.
It's a peanut, back and forth.
And the tech showed me where it was moving. It was just so, I didn't cry though. I thought I was going to cry. I didn't cry. I was overjoyed.
I was trying to be real cool because the tech guy kind of looked over at me like, you ain't going to go out like, fuck are you? I was like, nah, that's a great look. I was like, so I was trying to keep it in, man. So, you know, I was emotional, too, seeing a little peanut wave back and forth. Even without my glasses, I could see that.
So our due date is in March.
Which is also my grandmother's birthday month. Actually, a few days away from my grandmother's birthday. I'm going to tie up her knees and keep the baby up in there till my grandmother's birthday. Then we're going to go from there.
So we have a lot going on because the last time we were on the air, we were telling looking for a place to live also.
Yeah, we found an apartment.
In the last couple of days, we also found an apartment. So we will be moved possibly early part of August.
Yes, and it is a 2-bedroom apartment, which will be perfect for the baby, perfect for us to do what we do, to continue the business, continue the show.
Actually, don't let KL fool you. He forgot about the baby. Get to the apartment.
I was trying to be nice. Just under the bus I go. I see we back on the air, threw me under the bus.
We get to the apartment, and it's a wonderful, the apartment has enough closet space for the, as you guys know, I have, and then it's a smaller room, and it's very nice size for the baby at the little nursery, and the first thing KL says, that's going to be a nice home office.
Hey.
So I said, no, it's not. And he looked, why not? I said, because it's going to be the baby's room.
That's right. I remember the baby after I was reminded. I was thinking of how we was going to do what we needed to do. But, you know, no, it was definitely the case. Also, know, we'd be amiss if we didn't bring up to the table. In that past time, we've had the Trayvon Martin verdict, and we're going to discuss that tonight. A whole lot is going on in this country, and a whole lot of healing got to happen, but I see things, well, I can't say I see it differently. I just think there's some things that have to be looked at that I think is so by color. There's some learning opportunities that need to go on that I'm going to focus on, because as a mentor to young men, I know when I go back to school, this is something I have to sit down to be able to discuss with them, things that can maybe keep them safe, keep them alive, and then also give some of my own personal, and I'm going to say this, my own personal about the case. Even Tiff and I disagree things right here inside our house, so my wife doesn't always agree with me, and we're going to, you know, open up the phone lines and allow folks to call in to share their points of view, and if they are the same as mine, fine, and if they're not the same as mine, be careful, because you might hit the cutoff button, so you might be in mid-speech and get disconnected. Right, host? Let me hit that applause one time. Oh, well, with my host. I'm supposed to get the applause. He's like, nope, I ain't cutting them off, Kay. But, yes, so we're definitely going to get into that. So, darling, as we usually do on Thursday night, what's going on in the news other than the major things?
Other than the major things, I like to try to get some good news, because we always get so much.
Always bring sad news and jump out the window.
Not all the time. Sometimes I have good news, and I actually have some article about a woman who took her family to a pizza shop. It was her husband and children. One was an infant was doing a lot of crying, so she decided to breastfeed him at the table. And, you know, of course she covered herself up and was trying to be as And the waitress walked back and forth and looked at her a few times. And she felt kind of uncomfortable, so she went outside to finish. At the end of the night, when they were on their way home, Ben showed his wife a receipt. And on the receipt, it said, "I bought one of your... Please thank your wife for breastfeeding." So basically, the waitress was in approval. Because, you know, it was a big debate on whether public breastfeeding should be illegal and all type of craziness. So the waitress was showing her support.
People actually don't want women breastfeeding in public?
Yeah, that's been... It's. I have no idea. I'm personally in favor of it. It's not like women... I have never seen it. Women just plop their breasts out and shove it in their child's mouth. Most women are very discreet about it.
Well,
but
I've seen some that just kind of... They them out like you got a couple of Arizona cans on the top and just...
You've seen that? Come on.
I'll tell you the truth.
I've
seen some women just on the train and in other places. I've seen a woman just pop it out.
And not cover herself.
No swaddling, blanket, nothing. Just, you're going to see this.
Well, I don't think it should be that open.
Well,
but
I mean, but then where's the line drawn?
Cover yourself, of course. Of course. I think breastfeeding is a very natural thing. It's something that I am going to do in our home. I'm looking... But I don't think women should be ashamed of it. A lot of men and other women make breastfeeding mothers feel ashamed. Nice story.
Pick my pizza.
You gonna breastfeed your child?
No. What's wrong with you?
Let's
talk about something else.
Okay.
Got problems.
One of end of the George Zimmerman in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. About two 15-year-old helped save a little girl, 5 years old, taken from right in front of her house, and it was an Amber Alert sent for little girl in the car. And I'm not sure if she was trying to get away or the driver, however they saw following the driver, and then the driver was trying to lose them. They were on their bike. Made me feel so good that the driver kept setting up on chasing him out the car and kept going. Changes and all the It was so touching. Nice. So touching to see.
Yeah.
That was my last.
So you got some rough news or some negative news?
No. I only wrote two articles. I wanted to keep it positive.
Yeah, because it's going to be a rough. All right. I want to thank everyone listening that's listening to Reality and Relationships on GQ Palace at blogtalk.com. Or if you've called in at 646-200-3838. Remember, if you'd like to speak to the host, just press 1. Take your name. It will definitely send us word that you're online, and we'll definitely take your call. This next couple minutes before we go to a break, I want to bring up some things with this case. I've seen a lot of things written on the internet, and I've listened to a lot of people, and I've kept my distance from it because anytime you have cases of a racial background, it's going to create very deep emotional feelings because we live in a racially charged country. We live in a country that is knowingly lopsided when it comes to race, and knowing that this is to be the case seems like people are always catching the negative end of the situation. And that part I don't disagree with. That part I don't argue. I also tragedy that this young man lost his life at the hands of a fool that should not have been out there doing. No, let me take that back. Should not have felt that a gun was necessary when there was law enforcement. Here is my situation. And bring the moral aspect to the side, because I'm try to be a morally correct man, and I believe that the Lord will balance out moral aspects of things, get to certain. But if there's laws in place that like Zimmerman can hide behind, to me, that is our target. Boycott, we can do all the things that we want to do, and that's fantastic. I have no problem with that. But, okay, what I want to do is we can boycott as much as we like, but honestly, it's about the laws. I want to see the laws change. I want to see the full force of how we feel about changing the laws. Force those individuals who are in place to get these laws off the books, because if these laws are on the books and the man can hide behind it, then our yelling and screaming is for what if the laws don't change? And we take it to the streets, but do we have an agenda with what we're trying to get done when we take it to the streets? You have folks want to force Skittles and Arizona Iced Tea to do something. To do what? Do you have a written agenda? Do you have something that you want them to participate in that's going to help change what's going on? Because if we don't sit down and consider this aspect, then we're all over the place, because I'm seeing everything from someone should kill this man to we should burn this down, so we should protest this, we should protest that. And you know what? Protests work. Martin Luther King proved that it can work, but you also have to have protests with some type of agenda.
Also, we need to be on one accord, definitely.
Well, I don't think we're ever going to be on one accord, because when racial lines are involved, what we have to do have some type of agreement to something. What is the overall cause of something? I would like to see that somehow, some way, that we get to some type of balance to understand what the actual fight is about. Racism, I don't know how you end racism, because people are going to not like people. I mean, I don't even like some people of color with the way that they act. I'm going to keep it real. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There's some people of color I can't stand. But I troll and police myself. I'm not going to go out and be disrespectful, rude, and try to hurt someone. But at the same time, I'm going to be cognizant of the law. I'm going to understand what the law is, and I'm going to try to fight certain battles through the courts, and then I'm going to try to fight some, I guess, outside. But I'm hearing people just yelling and screaming, and they're upset. Also, not knowing what happened in the case. There are people talking like they're experts, like they were there that night. Like they were out there that night, saying what should have happened, what did happen. Most people are given the same information that they got on television or what they read. We weren't out there that night. So we got to stop talking as if we're authorities on what's going on and how many people actually read Stand Your Ground Law to understand what he hid behind. So these are the things for me I just don't understand. My folks are taking up so much energy just wilding out. And we got to apply that energy to other things. Let's start teaching our kids to understand how the law works. How about teaching our kids that a phone call to the police can protect you, too? Do you know that if he hangs that phone up and dials 911 and says some creepy white guy is following me, at least his voice is recorded? At least it gives some type of idea to what his mindset was, that it's not a neighbor saying, I saw him on top of him, I saw him beating him, and his life was dangerous. All that might be true. But a simple phone call to 911, let me hang up from you, the young lady he was talking to, let me call 911 just to say, look, I'm being followed. Also, you're an athletic 17-year-old young man. George Zimmerman don't look like he'd outrun me in a race, and I'm a big dude. So a simple jog, let me get away from this cat. Now, if he still shoots you in the back, that's a whole different situation. But remove yourself from danger. Don't engage a crazy person. Now, the folks that live in New York understand all the time, you don't know when you're going to run into a crazy person on the train.
You run into crazy people.
There's crazy people all the time. Walk up to you, everything. I mean, I get everything. Yeah, you from DVDs, the birth control pill, the Viagra. You can get everything just walk through. I had a man run up on me with a microwave, said, come on, you got to buy this from me. 2 minutes later, the police came running in right behind her. He just stole it from somebody's house. So you don't know what you're going to be offered here in the city. But at the same time, you don't engage crazy. If you're feeling threatened, remove yourself from the situation. You don't always have to engage folks. We have to start teaching our kids that if we live in a country that's racially divided, don't engage certain folks if you know the law is not going to work for you. If you're that close to home, jog home. Say, look, I ain't no punk, but, yo, I don't know what's up with him. I'm going home. You know, these are things for me. And another thing, too, before we go to break, let me tell you something. If another person takes the stand and you can't speak English, don't open your mouth. I went back and listened to this young lady trying to speak. So this is why education is so important. I don't care what anybody says. So you got to read some books and be able to express what that young man was telling you in a better way where people are asking, what did she say? She's speaking English, but no one understood. These are the things that we have to sit down and take from this and say, how do we change this? How do we make this different so in the event that something happens in the future, we have certain things in place. So take all that anger to me. Take all that anger. Let's apply it to making our young men and women smarter. So in situations, because we're not getting rid of the racists. Let's keep it real now. We're not getting rid of racists in the United States. But let's make it more difficult for them to show their face. Make it more difficult for them to take another one of our young men's lives. Now, I'm going to go to a break. When we come back, we have a caller that's going to call in. She's a friend of mine. She's opinionated. So she's going to call in at 8:30. Her name is Stephanie C. Harper. She's also one of my friends. And she has been following this case and actually been posting about it and talking about it. And she'll get at you on her page, too. She'll tell you right up, don't even post. Don't even respond. Not feeling certain aspects of what she's about there. I'm going to take a two-song break. We're so happy to be back on the air. This is Reality and Relationship. I am KL. That is my lovely pregnant wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. And we'll be back at two songs, and we're going to hear what Stephanie C. Harper has to say. And she'll explain to you who she is when she comes back, when we come back. And relationships, and I'm sitting here with, and I'm gonna keep saying it all night, my lovely and pregnant co-host Tiffany Braxton Belvin. We're about to bring Stephanie C. Harper on. Before we bring on Miss Harper, Tiff just wants to read you something on the Stand Your Ground law. You know, while I was monologuing about the change in the law, she just want to read you a little clip about the law itself, and then we'll go right to Miss Harper. Go ahead, darling.
Now, this is something that I actually grabbed from the internet. And for those who don't get exactly what the Stand Your Law, the Stand Your Ground Law is, it's basically a type of self-defense law that gives individuals the right to use reasonable force to defend themselves without any requirement to evade or retreat from a dangerous situation. The concept sometimes exists in statutory law and sometimes through common law precedent. Now, basically, what I also read is since the state of Florida enacted the Stand Your Ground law, their self-defense claims have tripled. And it's very difficult to prosecute against people who claim self-defense, because most of the time, the person and the only witness that would be able to basically say that there wasn't such a circumstance of self-defense is already dead. It's like a shoot first, then ask questions later. Anybody could basically claim that they felt threatened and say it was self-defense. And who's there, unless there were other witnesses, to say that it wasn't the case, usually the person is going to get off.
Without question. And that's why we got to have this law change. But enough between the two of us. Let's bring in Stephanie C. Harper, my friend, Stephanie C. Harper. Stephanie, are you there?
I am. Hey, family.
How are you doing, love?
I'm doing great. You know you got me on a line because Trayvon's parents are on Anderson Cooper right now, so I'm trying to listen to you and listen to them, but I got the DVR.
TiVo, I was about to say TiVo, baby. TiVo, and then go back to it later because I know you've been on this for the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen.
I have, but hold on. First thing I want to say is congratulations to you both.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
That I'm so happy, and you should name my little niece or nephew Stephanie or Stephen.
We'll take that into consideration.
Listen, hold on. Because the name means crowned in victory.
We might have to consider that in there next to my grandmother's name. So we'll work out some type of combination of Christina, Stephanie, and something like that. We'll see
how
we can
beautiful.
Do that.
That's beautiful.
We actually going to put that down. Listen, everyone listening right now, this young lady here, Stephanie C. Harper, is a good friend of mine and a mentor. We talk, and I just love her style about things, but also I love her passion about what she does, as well as her level of expertise about what she does. And she makes no bones about explaining to you how she acquired that expertise, because she wants you to understand that a professional is supposed to be on a level and act on a certain level. So that's one of the reasons why when she hit me up today and said she wanted to come on, many people I might have said, well, you might want to call in, we'll see. But with her, no problem, come on, because I know for a fact, and I've been watching the post since the case started, with the trial, excuse me, she's been, day by day, she's been putting out questions and stuff like that, so we'll get to everything that you're doing after this, Ms. Harper. Let's go right to it. You said you had a ton. Take me through what you wanted to get at. What do you want to say about this for the folks listening?
Well, the first thing that I want to say is if you are not registered to vote, shut the hell up.
There you go.
Thank you.
So we ain't in a disagreement yet. Go ahead.
Okay. So that's the first thing I want to say.
Very true.
Of you who are familiar with my brand, you'll hear me say hell, damn, and sometimes the S word. But for today, I'm just going to say shut the hell up. Because the issue here, we all know what happened in regards to what was shown to us. But nobody except for George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin know what truly happened that night. And Trayvon, unfortunately, is not here. I have had a very tough time with this case. Because what most people don't know is that I am not biracial, but my grandparents were.
Yeah.
And I have some of that blood in me, too.
Yeah.
I have 5 older brothers. I have 22 nieces and nephews. All but 5 of them are biracial. So my best friend of 30 years has a white mother and a black father. So I grew up in a military environment. My father was military. So I grew up with friends from all different types of spectrum. But
gotcha.
The key thing about me, which we'll share later, is that I'm an HR professional, which means that I've had some sensitivity and cultural training as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important because if you just go out and read any given article, and if you just scroll down to the comments, you just get sick to
Without question. It's a lot
you
of
You just get sick to your stomach. And it goes to show you where we are as a country and that we really have not moved as far along as we have. But there's the thing that I want to say is that some of the laws, and I know that you were saying, you know, referring to the law, and the law sucks, you know. One of the things that I posted, and you mentioned that I've been posting, is that if you look at the states that have the Stand Your Ground law, it's primarily the southern states. You know, there's Pennsylvania's in there and all that, but it's primarily the southern states. So if you look at it in regards to how the maps look in red and the blue when we're having our voting time, it's usually, most of the states that were listed under that have the Stand Your Ground law were the red states.
Yeah.
The problem
with that is they have history of racism as well as New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and the East Coast.
Absolutely. They have a history of racism. And I've been trying for at least a week to write a blog, and I can't get the blog out because there's so much that I want to say about it, and I don't want it to be like a book, a little mini book. So I'm just kind of backing off because I'm letting some of the anger die down.
Stephanie, let me ask you. Let's go here. Let me ask you this, because you do a tremendous amount in the public. I work in the public, so we know we have to tie that line, and we're floating in between cultures, dealing with different mindsets, different. In the case of this young man, see, I have a problem that no one mentioned about him calling the police as if that wasn't even an option for him. And what's your thoughts on teaching our young folks to, when they sense danger, to make a call? Because often in the communities that I teach in, speaking to the police is just such a negative. And we actually, in some of the neighborhoods, talk about snitching as if it's a badge of honor, when we know that a badge of shame when you're actually trying to make changes in your neighborhood. So what's your thoughts on the fact that no one even mentioned that he was having this conversation with his female friend but didn't even think to call the police and just say, this creepy dude, I'm going to try to stay away from white, black dudes, so this creepy dude is following me. Why didn't, and I got another question after that too, why didn't that come up? What's your thought?
Well, let me say this. Yes, that was an option to him, but I don't think it was available. Because what you're doing is you're thinking with a 40-something brain.
True.
Trayvon was 16 years old and 21 days, 16 years and 21 days old. So a lot of the comments that people are saying he should have and he could have, personally, I don't believe that it was available to him. He was six doors away from his house. So for people to say he could have ran home, I think if he could have, he would have. The thing about what you're saying in regards to him hanging up the phone, think about what's happening. He's walking home in the dark. A strange man is following him. He was already in a conversation with Rachel Gentile when he started to follow him. So the natural progression is, hey, somebody's following me. Now, you or I might think to hang up the phone and call the police, but his first instinct was to run.
Gotcha.
Okay, now I've seen several different videos, and there's one on my page that I'll send to you guys, which I think is probably the very most accurate. And what they did in the portrayal is they showed that Trayvon ran, and when Trayvon thought that he had lost him, Zimmerman was actually on his way in this portrayal. Zimmerman was actually on his way back to his truck, but they crossed paths.
Okay.
And when they crossed paths, he was still on the phone, because remember, at that point, all he was trying to do was run and get away.
Gotcha.
So at that point, he's thinking, oh, I'm good because I lost him. Okay, so at that point, because he's six doors away from his door, you get what I'm saying? You got to think about what may have been going on through his mind. He's like, oh, I lost him. I'm good. I'm right. I can see my door from here. So I'm good, which may have been his thought process. I don't know, because I'm not Trayvon. But I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt. So it, the way that this video shows is that when Trayvon lost him, you know, Trayvon looks around on this video. He kind of looks around and he's, you know, the expression is, okay, good, I got him. And he's just back to walking and talking. And at that point, because George thought he lost him, he does start to walk back to his truck, but they meet again. Now, here's where I have the problem, and here's what I believe happened. I believe that when George Zimmerman stepped to him, he already had his gun out.
I believe that, too.
I believe that wholeheartedly, but here's the problem, and this is something that I can't take credit for it, but Sonny Hostin, who was a formal prosecutor who's been following the case, no, it wasn't Sonny, it was Judge Ferreira. He said, it was a debate on one of these shows, and they had Judge Ferreira and Judge Hatchett on, and Judge Hatchett said that someone had tweeted her and said, why couldn't he just hold the gun on him? Why did he have to pull the trigger? And Judge Ferreira said he couldn't do that because Trayvon was not committing a crime. And in the state of Florida, that's an automatic 10 years under the 10-20 life law. So if the police had gotten there and Trayvon said, hey, he had a gun, and they had searched Zimmerman, and Zimmerman had a gun, Zimmerman would have gone to jail. So in a sense, it's almost like he had to kill him. He had
so,
to kill
and
him.
Because he took the case, he took the class to understand the law, the logic is he went ahead and executed him because he already knew he was going to be in trouble by having a gun to begin with?
Hello, let's go, right there.
Okay.
Boom.
And
there
I,
it
I've,
is.
I've
now,
heard
I
that.
Do believe, you know, and the other part is people say that Trayvon threw the first punch, and I think that's one of the most disturbing comments.
I'm going
to,
hold on, let me stop there.
Can I say something else?
Go ahead.
Well, hold on, let me just finish my thoughts.
Go ahead.
This, I have two daughters.
Uh-huh.
And I tell my children, you better not start it. But if somebody hits you, you better finish it. Okay? That's probably the black in me, because I'm black and I am that.
That's the black side?
Okay. That's the black side, okay? But that's the way I was raised. That's the way I was ingrained. And I believe that we have a right to protect ourselves,
okay?
But my point is, nobody knows if Trayvon threw the first punch. So to say so adamantly, oh, yes, he did. He attacked George Zimmerman. My response to that is there would have been no confrontation if George Zimmerman would have stayed in the truck.
Yeah, that's true.
Because guess what? I had a conversation with a white guy online yesterday, and this is what the guy said. First, he said Trayvon should have ran. And I said, why did Trayvon have to run? This is the year of 2013. He should not have to run from a white man in the year of 2013 for simply walking down the street. Then this same white man said to me in this conversation, if he were Trayvon, he would have ran home, got a pair of scissors, and called the police. So this is where it got ugly, okay? Because he is angry with Trayvon for throwing a punch that he claimed Trayvon threw. But he's saying he would have gone home and got scissors and called the police. But this is the same person who said that George Zimmerman didn't do anything illegally by following. So if somebody is following you, why do you feel you need a pair of scissors and the police if there's nothing wrong with it?
Well, there's actually no law that's in place
that's
now.
That's not my point.
Getting
that's
to
not my point.
Change the laws.
That's
about-
not my point.
No, I'm speaking to what
my
you're
point
saying.
Is
hold on 1 second,
fear.
Tiff wanted to say something. Go ahead, Tiff. Oh. So you know, I got what you're saying, but here's my thing with that, because it, I like to say it goes back to what I'm talking about with changing the laws. But let me ask you a question, because I'm with you, none of us know what happened. But I also, you're dealing with 16-year-olds, and that's the age group that I deal with on a regular. Often their first reaction is one of a violent nature. In many, I'm gonna say in many cases. I'm not gonna say often, but with the kids I've dealt with, it's been often. I've seen a lot of young men go to violence quickly, simply because, unfortunately, in a lot of our neighborhoods, it's what's promoted.
Mm-hmm.
So conversations don't come up. They go specifically to it. So my thing is,
but it's not just what's promoted. It's also a matter of survival.
No, no, I got that. But no, this is what I'm getting to.
Correct.
If they crisscross paths, and he reacts like I've seen 16-year-olds.
But his reaction, KL, was, "What are you following me for?"
No, I got that, and that's what I'm talking about. Is, but with the following part is, if you then decide, like, with the gun out, and that's again the argument: the gun is out, the gun is whatever. But I just don't want young men feeling that engaging with a grown person who seems crazy is the answer. And I've seen it often here in New York. Where
let me paint a different picture for you, because this is what I believe. I do not believe Trayvon had a chance, period. I do not believe that. I believe that when George Zimmerman approached him, and that's what I'm telling you, I have to send you this video. I wish I would have thought to send it to you earlier. When he, in this video, and I had this thought in my mind before I saw the video, but when I saw it, I was like, yep, I think that's about as accurate as it's going to get. When he approached him, he had the gun out. At that point, George Zimmerman probably had it down by his side. Because it was nighttime, he probably didn't see the gun. So he turns around and says, hey, you know, I've ran from you and we've met up again. Dude, what you following me for? I think that's a natural reaction for anybody. Think about it when you just go inside of a store and, you know, the person's following you around the store. You're like, dog, what are you following me for? Me, I just leave the store. Because I'm like, if you think I shouldn't be in here because I can't afford something, let me just leave. So when people do that to me in stores, I just leave. But my point is, in this depiction, they meet up. And there's nowhere to go. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if he walks up to him and he says, what are you following me for? And George walks up to him and pushes him, which is what his phone records or you know, what Rachel Gentile said. He pushed him. When did Trayvon have an opportunity to even do anything? He did the only thing he could do, which was fight for his life.
Which and then losing that fight, the person that Sif was saying can say whatever now that the person is dead and the person on the phone can't describe exactly what's happening.
I don't believe that, you know, and then the prosecution, you know, even there was a witness there or one of the witnesses that stated that George's injuries could have been self-inflicted. She demonstrated how it could have been done. It could have been done with the butt of the gun. It could have been done by him punching himself in the face. I'm not saying that Trayvon did not get off any hits on him. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you are fighting for your life, I think George Zimmerman got away easy.
I agree with you. You mentioned something on your page the other day, which I think folks need to understand. This is one of the reasons why I'm actually so glad that you reached out to me, was when you mentioned his lineage and who his lineage is in terms of father being a lawyer, I think it was, as well as other
his
family members.
His father was a magistrate judge. His uncle is a deputy. His best friend is a former federal marshal. He wanted to be a cop so badly.
Because that's important.
He wanted to be a cop so badly, but he couldn't.
About the self-inflicted wounds is that if you have that type of legal lineage around you, and you're saying
he knew what to say and he knew what to do.
Yeah, if you're the idiot of that group, but that group is still the brain trust around you, the first thing they're going to say is, wait a minute. They already know how the prosecution is going to come at you. So, of course, they're going to...
Exactly.
I'm not trying to put it out there that this is what happened. Let anybody listening, please understand this. What Ms. Harper is saying, what I'm saying is, we are giving our points and our thoughts on what we perceive
from
the information that we have.
And I'm going to tell you something else that I believe happened.
Right.
When he said, call my wife, the wife called the father.
Oh, of course. Why wouldn't she?
There's no way in hell that father should have been able to go in there and talk to him.
Especially with the background that he has legally. See, these are the things for me, and you're making fantastic points, because these are the things that anyone listening should understand why, not just voting, but becoming actively involved in the things that go on in your community.
Well, the reason why I said, if you're not voting, shut up, because in order for you to have a voice in this, I mean, we have our opinions, but in order for you to have a voice, you needed to be eligible to sit on that jury.
Yes. You had to be.
See, one of the things that people miss is that we have the right to be tried in front of our peers. Those were George Zimmerman's peers. They were not Trayvon's peers.
Exactly. And another thing, too, I'm glad you said that because I say it all the time. I learned so much from the three times that I have served jury duty. I don't find ways to get out of it. I go. And the reason
That's awesome.
I go is that I want to see the inner workings of court in session. God forbid I ever have to be there. And each time that I've been there, I have been on a robbery murder case. I've been on a car accident case where the guy said he was injured for life but was moving his neck and back around like he's ready to go play some ball. And then I've been on another case where the lady that was in the jury with me said he looks guilty. And I said, what do you mean looks guilty? She said, look at his hair, look at how he's sitting. I said, I ain't got nothing to do with it. But she had convinced two other people in the jury room that this person was guilty just on how he looks. But the person who was the leader of the group had said, wait a minute, ma'am. And then it went as far as talking to the judge and had those two removed. Now, my thought was, what if the dude who has picked to lead us is weak and this cancer spreads to everyone there? You got a guy going to jail because some chick said, I don't like the way he looked, but made good points on why. And it's very...
Yeah, I believe that that's also the case with Trayvon Martin. The B-37, her husband is a lawyer. And one of the things that I've said continuously is that I'd love to see her phone records.
Definitely.
Because her husband is a lawyer. I don't know if he's a criminal or a prosecution lawyer. But my point is, her husband may have been advising her. And she could have used that to her advantage. And again, this is all my opinion.
Speculation,
okay?
I got you.
She could have used that to her advantage to be that...
on the other five women.
To be that... jury, hey, I'm the foreman, or I should be the foreman because my husband is a lawyer, and I see this all the time.
And let's be clear about something, too. People lean on people who sound like they have the right answers. I'll give you an example of something. When I went through fire safety training years ago when I worked at a hotel, one of the things that I was taught in a crisis, they said, don't stand around like you have answers when you don't. Keep your eyes down until you have a chance to think the situation through. Then make a move, because in a crisis, people are looking for someone who looks like they got the answers. And one of the things that the deputy superintendent of the fire department said is that you don't want to lead people to their death. You don't have a clue what you're doing, because people will follow you. If you stand up firm and go, this is the way out, you will get hundreds of people to follow you to their death. So one of the things in a room like that, people already know that this is a racially charged situation. Regardless of their background, they are nervous. If one person stands there and goes, I have great information, or I have knowledge, I've gone through this, my husband's a lawyer, I don't care who you are, people will tend to lean on that person to listen because they sound like the professional. And this is where we have to become part of the jury pool, because that has to balance out. This is what I was mentioning earlier, and I don't know if you heard the earlier part when I was talking about, I understand the anger and I understand flooding the streets, but we have to take that energy and apply it to putting pressure on getting these laws changed, getting our kids into college so they can actually become the next folks who need to take these places and these positions, because something has to be done differently. We don't change the laws, we can scream all we want.
I agree.
And that's
and
for me. Let me ask you this. Now, I got to ask you, because your sister, mulatto sister, mixed, whatever, that's cool. Either way, it don't make no difference to me.
I'm a black girl. Okay. My mom is black and my daddy is black.
So let me ask you this. Miss Gentile, because it drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Miss Gentile taking a stand and not being able to
have command of the language.
Thank you, darling. I went back and looked at the interview, and I'm a little frustrated because I don't know what a person's background is. I don't know what kept you from school, but one of the things that I stress to the young men in my group when we meet each week is that I harp on them to read and to write. I don't care if it's just notes to themselves, something. So in the event that you ever have to describe something that happened, you can do so. So in listening to her trying to explain herself and not be able to have a command of the language, when I've seen young men go from not speaking that well to speaking better with some help, that bothered me.
Well, you have to keep in mind that she's of Haitian descent.
Done. Go ahead.
English,
if you get that. The thoughts and
English
views
is
definitely
not her
primary language. I don't want to catch no heat because my ex-wife.
I'm not making excuses for her. But what I'm saying to you is that she is of Haitian descent, and she speaks three fluid languages.
Okay.
So let me go back to my HR training. When hiring, there have been 1,000 times when we have put an ad out in the paper and we said we need a person who's bilingual. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What happens is they can speak Spanish well, but sometimes they can't speak English well. So when we hire them and we say we need you to speak, we need you to be bilingual, what happens in many cases, and, you know, I've been in HR for more than 20 years, what happens is that because Spanish is their primary language, what happens during the day is every time someone who's non-Spanish speaking, they want to transfer the call to the Spanish speaking person. Because it makes the communication between the two of them easy. But their comprehension of the English language is not at the same level.
But why not speak the language that she's the strongest in instead of the language that makes her look like a clown?
That I can't answer. She should have very well had an interpreter there if English is not her primary language. But here's the problem. The prosecution is to blame for that.
Oh, no doubt. She
was a child.
Our question, but I'm saying...
They didn't prep her at all.
I'm sorry.
That's clear.
Yeah, but the thing is, every interview that I've seen her have, I went back because I wanted to make sure I looked first before I spoke about it, because Tiff and I were sitting there one night, and I must have went through about three different interviews that she gave, and she, instead of saying, I have, you know, some problem, she blamed it on her underbite or her teeth, and I got that.
Right.
And I was listening
to
how
she... Well, this is the thing. She doesn't
worse.
Know.
But I was
going,
I was listening
to
how she spoke the language.
She doesn't know that she's ignorant, okay?
But that's the
ignorant
problem I have.
Ignorant means unlearned.
That, yeah, but that's what I'm talking about is that you are the link. You are the person speaking to him. He
Hold it. You are speaking from your 40-something mind.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
She doesn't know what you know.
No, but I've seen children.
You know, prior to the Trayvon Martin case, the girl couldn't even tweet properly.
Well,
so now you're asking her in a year's time where she's full of frustration to get her act together.
But hold on. I'll give you an example. A young man came from Haiti in October. We had to have another student travel with him because he was having a problem. Of course, with the English language. Now, he was in the seventh grade. By April and May, not only was he able to hold basic sentences, but it was, how are you today? Hey, Mr. B, I'm doing... He was able to have a command of the language.
But
and that's
because he had help. Where's
I understand that. This case has been going on for a while. And again, it's the prosecution's fault. I'm getting at all of them. Because you have to do better than that. Her and the prosecutor.
She had. I don't believe she had any help. I don't believe that she.
You said the prosecution
really
just put out
what was going on.
But the prosecution just put her out there as is, knowing that she was that way.
Well, they had no choice but to put her up.
But if they had her for a year.
They had enough time. Okay.
They should have prepped her, but the reality is
they didn't.
Yeah. No. But we're only going back about. Listen, we're only replaying it. To discuss it because it's all for future learning. See, me, once it's done, I'm not going to sit here and get angry about what's done. I'm going to get angry about what I can do
going forward.
I'm talking about we have to look at that because that is precedent to me. As an educator, I'd be amiss if I didn't bring that to the table.
Correct.
Because it's something that I talk to young folks about, so it angered me in a different way because I have said to young fellas, don't wait. Because I've seen police come on the scene and say, what happened? Yo, you know what? How many times did they put the dude who found the girls from Cleveland and then started to make jokes about him because he couldn't speak that well, even though he did a heroic thing and called the police when these girls were being held captive. But then instead of praising him for doing something brave, they clowned him because of the way that he spoke. I have a problem with folks don't attempt. Now, I'm not saying she didn't. I just, from the way it looked to me. They was with her more than enough time that if you bring in a tutor, I have seen kids in a matter of days speak better simply because you took the extra time to go over it with them.
They had almost
I hear you, but we're blaming Rachel Gentile for what the prosecution didn't do.
But you know,
she is
better.
She
but then
is
don't
who
do interviews.
She is.
Her choice. Don't do interviews. I understand the prosecution. Then don't do interviews after, and still sound the same way. See, that's her. See, that's what I have a problem with. I understand the prosecution, but don't do interviews after and you're still speaking the same way.
Well, Tom Joyner has offered to get her some tutors to to help her to get through school and will pay for her to go to any HBCU
and I'm happy
that
about
she
that.
Desires.
I'm so angry that
so my prayer and hope is that she will take that up. And maybe this is her, maybe Trayvon will be her reason for living.
I hope so.
Maybe Trayvon will be her reason, you
well,
know.
It,
I mean, it,
right here on the show, and I want to sit down and have, I hope for anybody to get better. I hope anybody takes, I hope everyone takes negative situations and grows from them, learns from them, because it's necessary. And it's how many of us, we need pain sometimes to be pushed forward in different directions. And sometimes the best things that ever happened to us come from some of the negative situations that we've ever been a part of.
Right.
Just, that's why I said, looking at this case, I got a bunch of things that I want to do going forward in terms of helping young men and women, because I teach both, but learning from this and then hopefully getting them motivated from the anger of it to being able to push it. Like it bothers me that when we bring up the past with the protests of Martin Luther King and other, that we tend to forget Thurgood Marshall. That Thurgood Marshall used his education to show that an educational system was destroying our children, and that some of that still goes on in schools when you don't give them quality books or you keep them segregated. And we have to start looking at ways to bring to light things that are going to protect our children's future. As a mother yourself and as a father, we both know how important legacy as well as building towards the future. I have heard you many a time speak about how you created your brand and you worked your brand not just for today, for what it's going to be. And both of us are part of the kingdom of the Lord, and we both try to use the Lord's advice to help us guide what we do. This is all part of it, to me. And I know you feel the same way in things that you put out there, because I've seen the things that you put out. This is what I'm getting at, is that folks have to look at how you do things, how I do things, find a way to get our children to see that there's a greater level that they have to get to, not should have to get to if we need to make these changes.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. But the one thing we don't know about Rachel Gentile is who's in her life. You know, her mother might be 15 years older than her. I mean, we
look,
don't know.
It's possible.
I mean,
it's possible.
You know, so
I hear you. Pick up a book. Sit down and read. Don't, when somebody has to say your narratives are wrong, meaning that you're placing the verb in the wrong place, you shouldn't be doing interviews. So get the help that you need.
I agree. I agree. But I think sometimes it goes back to sometimes we have to hear the message and take our attention off the messenger. I hear you 100%.
And I'm looking at the messenger too, because if his hand's in somebody's pocket. Get your hand
I hear you. But I think she has been even the first time I saw her, my post was what is this representing Trayvon? That was my very first post.
Hey, at least you honest. At least you have been honest.
That was my very first post. And you have to keep in mind, I saw her on the second day. I walked in and she was sitting on the stage huffing and puffing and what? No, I'm ready to go right now. And I was like, what is this representing Trayvon Martin? So that was my introduction to her.
I got you.
However, you know me. You know that I'm a very good judge of character. But I also wanted to find out a little bit more about her.
I got
you. And, you know, what I do for a living, of course, with Career Magazine is I research people. You know, there are a ton of people that approach me about being featured, that want to talk to me, that, you know. And the first thing I do before I say yay or nay is I go back and I research.
Always.
So immediately I began to research her. You know, because I wanted to know who she was and why she was significant. I mean, I knew that she was the person that was on the phone with him, but I wanted to know a little bit more about this little chick.
I got
And the first thing I saw was her Facebook, her Twitter page. And I was like, okay, this chick is ignorant. Now, I want to make sure that the listeners understand what I mean by ignorant. I'm talking about the dictionary's version of ignorant, which means unlearned. Which means unlearned or lacking knowledge.
Got you.
Okay?
That is the word. That
the
is
street,
how I'm using
that you
the
just
word.
Act stupid
ignorant.
Or crazy.
Okay.
Actual
correct.
The dictionary version. I got you.
The dictionary version is unlearned and lacking knowledge. And so that was one of the first things that I learned about her. And so, I'm sorry, I saw her on day one. So on day two, when I saw her, I was more listening to what she was saying than looking at her because I already knew who I was dealing with. You know, it's almost like that when someone tells you something, you have to look at the source.
True. But the hard part with that is you had the opportunity to do that, but jurors only get what they get. And I think when I read that jurors had to be instructed that if they had questions about anything that she said, raise their hand. And I think it infuriated me that if you're not audible enough, folks, to just get the basic understanding of what you're saying, I'm frustrated because you might actually have information inside you that could maybe sway this change. And I don't know if it would change the outcome there in Florida, especially as shady as Florida is. But I just feel
like... what I was going to say is I don't... She could have gone in there and spoke like Diane Carroll. I don't believe they would not have identified with her.
But you know what? I have to say that listening to some of the interviews and also some of what she said on the stand, the jurors said that they didn't think she was credible. And when I actually looked at some of the videos from her being on the stand, it wasn't that it didn't look like she was credible. It's just like she didn't know how to develop her thought process, which made it look like she wasn't telling the truth. So I think it really hurt the prosecution.
Let's dive there for just a moment, Tim,
sure.
Because one of the things that they were using to say that she was not credible was the fact that she lied, okay? She did lie about where she was during the funeral, and she did lie about her age. And so what they've taken from that is, well, if she lied about one thing, she's lying about another thing. But the flip side to that, which I think when B37 was on with Anderson Cooper, they brought that up. And she said, well, she didn't seem credible because she lied. And Anderson Cooper said to her, well, George had a lot of inconsistencies in his story, too. She said out of her mouth, juror B37, well, that didn't matter.
Yeah, that I read.
Really?
That's where people started to question B37 because comments that she made seemed to be pro-Zimmerman even when there were no reason for it.
When they asked her point blank, do you feel sorry for Trayvon? That was a yes or no question. And she said, I feel sorry for both of them. That wasn't the question. So in essence, her answer was no.
She kept him in the interviews that was leading up to, she kept Zimmerman in the forefront of questions as if she was almost prompted to keep saying that it's like keep mentioning him every time you mention Trayvon to kind of sully the waters every chance you get. I mean,
well, keep in mind also, Keith, that when she did her interview, she had already approached an agent about a book. So she had a totally different... She had a totally different agenda for that interview.
Yeah, and there's
the agent didn't approach her. She approached the agent.
Yeah.
And after she went on there and got blasted, she decided that she would not write the book and she would go back to her life, which is in her best interest.
But there was no mention that any paperwork that might have been done or not done was actually put to the side. It just says she's not going to go forward with it now.
What happened is a young lady from New York, she started a petition on change.org, and they contacted who would have been her literary agent and basically said to the literary agent not to represent her in the book.
Correct.
And the literary agent decided to drop her.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't her choice.
Right, but at the point, she didn't have a deal. She only had an agent.
She was attempting
to
secure one
because
in a case like this, I got to go out and make some money.
So she figured, hey, I can write a book about this. So when she went on and did her interview, mind you, she's the only juror that wanted to have that wanted to speak out. And then the other jurors come back and said she didn't represent us. Now, I have my own idea about that because the fact that the verdict is what it was, in one sense, she did represent you guys.
But again, I think she, and I don't know because I wasn't in the jury room, I just feel like she may have been the jury foreman. Because she, according to her, when they went back down, when they went back, they were split down the middle. But she said he was not guilty from the very beginning.
But was when, now the jury foreman, if I'm correct, isn't that the person that reads their decision back to the judge? And
the jury foreman is the person that reads back to the judge.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The jury foreman is also supposed to be
the person that read back to the judge?
Correct, but the foreman is also the person who's supposed to be like the peacekeeper.
Yeah, the foreman is tabbed with whoever they choose as the foreman. That's the person that's going to see the arguments, call in the bailiff if something needs to go on, place the orders if people need to eat, as well as if something needs to be reread, they'll reach out and say, could you bring us this, could you bring us that? And the reason why they do it is to try to cut down on so many voices inside the room. You're also given written instructions on things. Let me now before we end this, I want to ask you this question, because this was one of my arguments from the beginning, is that what was your thoughts on the fact that I felt they should have went after manslaughter from the beginning and not more murder too? Because I felt manslaughter would have been easier to prove and would have opened the door to him going to jail, maybe not as long as it would have been under murder too, but I think manslaughter would have been a little easier to find a guilty verdict, and then your defense or your case strategy changes because the criminal offense is different. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I think the prosecution was terrible. Let's just deal with that.
I got you.
So, I think that they were terrible, just period, compared to Omara and West. I think Omara and West were much better lawyers than the prosecution. However, they say that the prosecutors were some of the top guys. However, as I understand it, and this is, you know, from me watching the commentary, is that if they could, that they go for the higher so that they can go down. If they had started at manslaughter, they could not go up.
Yeah,
but if
you got to stop there. But they can go murder two and then give them instructions. And if they don't, they can actually go down. But then the case evidence, as well as you present the evidence, is different because the intent is different with both of the charges.
Yes, I agree. I
that's why I was saying
that
with manslaughter.
Well,
I think it changes because I can say what you did caused the death compared to you actually went out with the idea of hurting someone and then it caused the death.
Correct.
Yeah, I would have went out with...
I think the state as a whole failed him. I just think when you look at the way that the investigation was done, everything about it was not in Trayvon's favor. There was nothing done. There was nothing done. That, you know, the crime scene wasn't properly preserved. The evidence wasn't properly preserved. Nothing was done to support anything.
Yeah, I mean,
George Zimmerman's statement. And the one thing that I want to say before we end is that this case is much bigger than Trayvon. And I think that we have to keep that in mind. I know that we are furious about somebody's boy, because that's what he was. You know, I have five brothers. I have a black husband. I have black nieces and nephews. So I understand the plight. You know, I live, 45 minutes away from Oakland, California. I get it. You understand? But I think we have to look at this on a broader scale. And I get what you're saying. And I also wanted to address what you said about boycotting. I understand that people, you know, we all say it, don't mess with my man and don't mess with my money. So the significance of, or don't mess with my mama, don't mess with my man, and don't mess with my money.
Mm-hmm.
The significance of the boycott is to say, hey, we mean business. Now, it may not change everything initially, but if you can get one entity to begin to fold, it's easier to get the other entities to begin to fold, because this is not a Florida-only law. This law is in about 12 or 13 other states. So when you make, you know how they always have to use somebody as an example?
I got you.
Because this happened in Florida, if we boycott, which I am boycotting, and you guys know I was just in Sanford, Florida. My girlfriend lives in Lake Mary,
mm-hmm.
and she took me to the place, and I posted about it on Facebook, but she took me right there where Trayvon was murdered. But I was there in May of this year. But if I see my girlfriend now, we're going to have to meet up somewhere because I'm not putting anything into that community. Now, as an HR professional, I've had people to, you know, to ding me and say, you know, Stephanie, it's hard to hear for me to hear you say that because if their economy is affected, that's going to also affect people's jobs and that kind of thing. I get it and I hear it, but if I don't stand for something, then, you know, I'm essentially saying that his life wasn't worth it. And so because I choose to stand for Trayvon and for justice, not just for Trayvon, you know, I posted yesterday about another little guy in Florida. Actually, he was in Wisconsin where the neighbor shot him while he was taking out his garbage, you know, shot him point blank.
Hold on a second because we have another caller, and you know me,
okay.
me and you will go. For like the next 3 hours, because
yeah,
you know how we go. But here's what I want to do before you go, dog, because I know folks are going to want to know more, follow you. Give them where they can find you. Give them all your information so this way they can connect with you and follow up what you're doing, because I'm going to tell everyone she has been on top of this from the beginning, and she's put out information, and she's made it clear. It's her thoughts. You take the information and do what you want with it. So give them the information of where they can find you so they can follow you. Tell them everything, now.
Well, let me say this. Don't follow me with no hate mail.
That's true. That's true, because you will get blown up.
Don't follow me with no hate mail, because I will get with your program. But if you want to connect with me, you can. You can do it several ways. If you Google, make sure that you include the C. It's Stephanie C. Harper. You can also go directly to stephanieharper.com. which is my personal site. You can catch me on my business site, which is thecareermag.com. And if you'd like to talk to me on Twitter, I'm at SpeakStephanie.
Stephanie, we're going to have you back because I want to do a show. Actually, we have plans for it anyway, so I was going to surprise you. We're going to do a show on what you...
Yeah.
You're a busy woman. But we're going to have you come on because there's so much information that I want you to give out to listeners another night. But I personally want to say thank you so much for all that you do and the information that you gave tonight. But just also being friends, because as a person that really puts out so much information, you do take time out for those that are in your circle. And I appreciate being there. So thank you for everything on my
thank
end.
Thank you. So I appreciate
for reaching out tonight.
And Tiffany, keep that name at the top of the list.
Tina Stephanie, we're going to work that out somehow. We got you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Stephanie C. Harper.
Take care of yourself.
Today. That is Stephanie C. Harper. Darling. Not even going to go right to the next one. We're going to go right to a Shatik on the phone.
Shatik?
The Shatik on
the phone. Yes, it's Shatik, man. Good evening, man, and bless y'all, man. Y'all doing a great work.
Thank
great
you,
service.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You know, I call all the time, man. I call all the time. I just got three words about that trial, man. Smoke and mirrors. First and foremost, we know there's organizations. I'm not saying no names. All it takes is a phone call. My brother talks to your brother, who talks to your sister, right?
Uh-huh.
If the prosecution's job or intentions was to prosecute when it happened, they would have sought charges. However, they did not. They waited till there was a brouhaha, i.e. Riley, you understand? Then all
mm-hmm.
of a sudden, we'll prosecute. If it was their intention to prosecute, they would have did it to start with. Okay, now, being that as it may.
But hold on 1 second. Hold your thought, because I'm going to
okay.
let you... That speaks to what Tiff was saying earlier about because the person who gets murdered is not there to defend themselves, that prosecutions have such a difficulty
right.
processing these cases that I don't even think they move forward with them just because they know that they can't win them.
I can go to Florida, live there, shoot somebody, think self-defense. There are no witnesses, so there's no one to say that it wasn't self-defense.
So,
no, you go to jail.
Exactly.
No,
well,
yeah, I would go to jail.
You black, so you black. But no, but it speaks to what you're saying. So go ahead, brother, continue.
Nah, listen, man, we have to look at the root of this. The man Pops is a judge for X amount of years.
Uh-huh.
I mean, let's call it what it is. Most of them judges were prosecutors.
Oh, yeah, they were lawyers before they became
They were lawyers, right? So you have to stand the good old boy network, the fast
network
of people he's dealing with. Now, I'm a prosecutor, but I know if I push this button or open this door, what's going to happen? Or do this. You understand? As long as I put up an act and make it appear that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, nobody comes down on our office. Man, it's all smoke and mirrors. They pick them juries. They know what's going on. You understand where I'm coming from?
Oh, no.
Listen, I was on trial myself. I know how to go. I know how the game plays.
That's one of the reasons why I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you heard earlier when I started, that my thing is I have no problem with the anger, but I like to use that anger as motivation to change these laws, to change the process. And we got to have brothers and sisters in position to do that, and we got to make sure that our focus is on what the real problem is, and that's the screen. If we don't go around the back of the screen and see who's actually orchestrating what's going on, you can sit there and yell and scream on the other side, and nothing's going to change.
Yo, I mean, no disrespect, man, when I say it, man. Trayvon, rest in peace, man. But, you know, I'm from New York, man. People die every day on a regular. You understand where I'm coming from? And the perception, you know what I'm saying, that I get is that it's okay if I kill you. You understand where I'm coming from? But it's not okay if somebody else kills you. You understand? When a brother on the corner get murdered, you understand? When a sister get raped, you know, things is happening to people, I see no rallies. I see no change.org. I see no petition.
As soon as the police kill you,
you understand it's a problem. As soon as a Chinese or somebody else do something to you, oh, justice. What about the justice for everybody else that was killed?
Thank you.
Come on, man. It's rhetoric, man. I don't fall for rhetoric, man.
Glad you mentioned that, because that was something I also posted on my Facebook page. Everyone wants to be an activist when someone of a non-black kills a black person. Where are you as an activist when you have the drug dealer selling drugs on your corner or across the street from you? Where are you when the teachers or the principals need to see you at your child's school? Where are you?
There ain't no way around.
You can't be a part-time activist.
I mean, and it's crazy because, like I said, I had started a Facebook page on global marketing, management, and promotions, and I throw it up, everything up. All types of content, you know, because it's just so important, man. I just think education and communication is important. You know, at the end of the day, I'm not falling for the rhetoric. However, you know, I'm not taking away from what happened. But, I mean, it's not a stand your ground law in New York, but there is pretty much a self-defense law, even though people say it, Penal Law 15 or 35, you know, so they got that. You understand? This is nothing new.
Shatik, let me just jump in here 1 second, because I understand, you know, with brothers killing brothers, because Lord knows. Reason why I continue to work in urban neighborhoods. Even some of the kids that I teach keep asking me, why do I do it? They like, well, why do you bother with us? Because you got books, you got this, you got that. And it's like, how is it that you keep trying to push away a brother that's trying to help you? And that's part of the mindset that they would like to keep our kids in. And my job is to try to break that. But one thing I do want to stay focused on is that a lot of times, often in the communities that we come from, choices are made that create a lot of the violent crime that goes on around us. This young brother in Florida didn't have a choice. He was only doing what many a young brother and sister will do. Went to the store, was going home, and here's some crazed cat feeling like the Lone Ranger decides he thinks this kid is committing a crime because other crimes have been committed in the neighborhood. That's nothing but profiling. So one of the things that we got to be very careful that we don't fuse together is two very serious problems that look like they're from the same tree when actually they're not. The problem in Florida is the law. The problem with blacks killing blacks in urban neighborhoods is something different. Now, they might be long extensions to a similar tree, but they have to be treated differently simply because the causes are different, even though there may be cats in the background that have stake in the outcome. Because if we give our brothers and sisters too much communication and information that they can't process, they'll just void it. They'll just let it go, and then we're stuck with them doing nothing. So sometimes we have to feed those who may not understand every aspect of what's going on, smaller chunks, so they can digest it, and then we can go after some of the serious problems. I just want folks registered,
so
I want to understand the laws and attack the laws. But attack the cause in the proper way, not in the violent
right.
way.
I mean, and you know what? You raise a valid point, and you definitely on the shine. So I'm just pretty much like, you know, I'll be putting out feelers with the global marketing. Like, who willing to put that petition on change.org? Because remember, this is country is predominantly based on political and economical. You understand? And the only way you hurt somebody is in their pockets. You know? And if it's a if it's an issue, you ever notice that when somebody outspoken or something, they change the law. When the views changed on same sex, they changed the law. Abortion changed the law. The Supreme Court changed the law. You know, and it comes by the people. We are the people.
They did the same thing in slavery. As the different slave owners came to pass, they changed the laws because it allowed the economics to continue. But those
right.
are definitely arguments that come from when educated folks can sit down and start to look at the what has been. And then we got to focus on the planning for the future. So I got another caller, brother. But before we go, I want to thank you because I want to get. I love getting people's viewpoints in this because we need critical conversations from all angles and being able to sit down and everyone do what they can do. What's one of the things, before you hang up, what's one of the things that you want to leave the folks listening that they should do tonight? Because going forward, we need to do things tonight, tomorrow. So when someone wakes up in the morning, forget tonight, when somebody wakes up in the morning, God willing, what's one of the things that they should do to actually make change, in your opinion?
If not you, who? If not now, when?
Yeah, listen, right there. That's real deep. Chateek, listen, man, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for calling in because Tiff and I love the support. Please share our information because the more folks that we have listening, the more that we can get out quality information and things that's going to help brothers and sisters out here. So from me to you, brother, I appreciate you.
Peace, man. Shalom.
Thank you, brother. We're gonna go forward. We're not even going to go to the break. I like this. I knew when I opened up the long phone lines what was going to happen, but it's cool. We have Angie on the line.
Hey, Angie.
Hi, Jeff. Hi,
if
KL.
If I have any questions for Stephanie.
Congratulations to you two on your expectancy.
Thank you. And we married, too. We doing it right.
Y'all doing it big. And listen, my hat's off, and may God continue to cover your relationships.
Thank you. We pray he does. Thank you so
mm-hmm.
much. What's
absolutely.
Going on, sister?
Nothing much. I was just, you know, listening on the show, and I don't know if you heard our show last night, but, you know, this is just something that's not going to go away right away, you know.
Well, I hope folks don't allow it to, but the one thing that I have learned in my time dealing with education is that people get in an uproar when they prick.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, will they continue once the pain is gone? See,
right.
now, it's the prick. You got the verdict. Everyone's up in arms, but I've seen the
mm-hmm.
same thing happen with Sean Bell.
Mm-hmm.
After it was whatever, and you know it's something to it. And actually, Stephanie just hit me up with something, and she was talking about how crimes are committed by folks that are not black, and it's true.
Absolutely,
violent crimes happen all over. My thing is, we have
absolutely.
To continue. Like one thing here in New York, when we had the shooting on the Long Island Railroad,
mm-hmm.
Roland Ferguson decided that because he couldn't get his way when he got disabled and the disability people said you couldn't get money, he decided to go get guns, fill out all the paperwork, get the weapons, come back to New York, get on the
mm-hmm.
train, and then just stood up and started shooting people. Well,
mm-hmm.
the wife of two of the victims, she lost her husband and she lost her son, Miss McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
She decided that she was not going to let this rest, that she fought it all the way, not only becoming a councilwoman, getting a position, but she continued to fight until she was in a position with the state of New York where she could actually affect laws and affect change because that was the way she was going to honor the passing of her husband and
mm-hmm.
son to this brutal murder. Now, my thing
right.
is, when there's crimes in the African-American community, Caribbean community, Asian community, anybody, we have to start stepping up as individuals
mm-hmm.
to start making the necessary changes
mm-hmm.
if we want to see some of this stuff done away with. Can't
oh,
wait
absolutely.
For somebody else.
Absolutely. Because, again, you sit around and wait on somebody else, and when something doesn't go your way, then you're ready to point the finger. But you fail to point the finger at yourself. You understand what I'm saying? And, again, to go back to wait, those laws, there's lots and lots of laws that need to be changed. But not only that, people mustn't realize the law can't stop you from doing anything. You understand what I'm saying? That's where you got to come in and check yourself.
Yeah.
You have to check yourself. It starts with you. You understand what I'm saying? And then it goes to us as a people. You understand?
So the hope is that folks take care of themselves and then put it out as people. Because the first thing, people are going to look back at you and say, well, you ain't doing it. Why should I?
Right. Yeah, again, pointing that finger, though. You know what I'm saying? But, again, as long as you do what you're set out to do, what you said you were going to do, it's nothing you could do about anybody else. We can't control what nobody else does. You understand what I'm saying? At all. I don't care how you try. We can't even control ourselves. We need the help of the Lord to control our own selves.
Yeah.
Keep our character in check.
I mean, and looking at this case, and for me, like I said earlier when I was talking to Ms. Harper, is that I tend not to keep going backwards. I try to take what I need from what was back there, write notes about it, and then how can I use this going forward to teach kids? How can I use this to help curb something myself?
Right.
Can I use it to help change for my own, for my sons, so that way they can get a feel for what it is that I'm trying to do within my own family?
Right, and this is, I've learned this from Creflo Dollar a long time ago. The key to being a powerful person is to plan, organize, write it down, evaluate, and then you come up with results.
No question.
Oh.
Needed. But see, right there, what you said is the evaluation is so important, because if you don't put anything down to evaluate, how do you actually know what's right or wrong? And that, again, goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the young lady, Miss Gentile. If you don't know that certain aspects of what you're trying to do are ignorant, then you need to step back and figure out how to fix that. Now,
kind of shut them down. Like, listen, I don't feel comfortable. The prosecution just totally botched that up. You understand what I'm saying?
Free.
And the defense capitalized on it. She was not ready to be on that stand.
But I think that this is fair going forward. I hope that in legal room, that folks of both colors, white and black, down and say, I never want to be a lawyer that looks that way with a client, that way with a witness. I hope it starts to become the precedent to why you do more work, why you become diligent in how you prep a witness. I hope that a case like this or mistakes that are made like this change things. The scary part
is
we saw some of the same mistakes made during the OJ trial. Darden just said, you know what, I'm done. I'm just going to teach legal classes. But my hope is that when these cases happen of such monumental levels, that we actually learn something going forward so it doesn't keep happening. Because I don't want to be here again, which we might, but hopefully we've made enough changes where now the defense, the prosecution knows how to attack a defense better. Because something has to be better than this.
Well, yeah, and then see, that's the thing also. Lessons are supposed to be learned from tragedies. You understand? You have to take this as a lesson. Even if you have to use it as an example, you're still supposed to use it as a lesson. Take this as a lesson. That's like a kid going out there, getting into a motorcycle accident, passes away, then another kid go and do the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? You're supposed to take that prior accident as a lesson for you to wear your helmet.
Well, that's the hope. Well, darling, because we have, I think, one of your other sisters on the line, too. Tell the folks who you are and what your show is so they can actually find you on the night that you're on.
I'm Angie from the Diva Squad, Love Fantasy, on Wednesday nights, GQ Palace Radio, 646-200-3838, from 7 to 9 on Wednesday evenings. And I have my fellow divas, Rachel and T, alongside with me. So call in, and we appreciate the callers that do call and the listeners as well.
Thank you so much, darling. Listen,
thank you.
You know, the floor is always open to you. I got to start getting in on Wednesday night so I can chime in.
Yeah, we have fun as well as interesting conversations. We have fun, too.
I'm all over, so I'm going to try to start getting in from the car somewhere. I'm going to call in at least once or twice on everybody's show. I'm going to start popping
in. Yeah, I try to support everybody's show.
Kanye,
you know,
just Kanye and jumping on stage on everybody's show.
Like, hold up. Andrew's good, but I think T was better, right?
Well, darling, listen, may the Lord walk with you in everything that you do. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it so much, and you and Tiff, too. And congratulations again
on
the expectancy.
Thank you so much. That's Angie, everybody, from the Diva Squad. We ain't taking no breaks. We going straight forward. Is T on the line? Is my girl T on the phone? Knew she calling.
Hello, hello, guys.
Hey.
My trip and my KL, I am so happy for you guys.
That's
oh
right.
My
old
goodness.
Man ain't shooting blanks, baby. That's right.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
hey, I got to take some pride in this.
I'm going to put you in the category with my father. He was 60 when I was made, so, you know, you doing the thing, okay?
I ain't trying to do no more than 60. I'm done now. I'm about to fold up shop right now. As soon as the baby's born, I'm good. When the baby get here, I'm done.
See, after this one, it's a wrap, huh?
That's it. That was my one golden bullet.
Well, when this little girl arrives in on the earth, we're going to be some proud people.
Oh, here we go with the girls. First, we got
that's
Christina.
Right.
Stephanie wants me to name it after her. We're going to name it after our great child. She's going to have like 17.
She's going to have 50 names. But she, at the end of the day, she's going to be a diva, okay?
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. She's going to have so many godmothers, it's ridiculous. I watch everybody here when it's time to babysit. That's all I know.
Well, hey, that's what's up. You can always bring her to me. Y'all going to have to move close to Jersey, though.
That's it. But you
so
know
when
what?
It's time to babysit.
Just jump this. She's going to be a queen. Listen, the funny thing about it is I know what the crown that's going to be placed on her head. She don't even have, if it is a young lady, oh my gosh. Man, listen, she will be an exalted queen.
You know what? A girl, boy, it ain't going to be good for nothing. I'm telling you now. Because everybody going to spoil it. Tips first.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, man.
No pictures for her to get her name. She's actually telling me what her name means. She's going hard. We're gonna have to consider Stephanie in there. Yeah.
So what's the due date they gave y'all?
The due date is March 13th.
Oh, Pisces, yes.
Well, here's the even better thing. My grandmother's day, I believe, is the
19th,
March 19th.
And I'm the 20th. I'm the 20th.
On the 20th? Wow, congratulations. And it's so ironic. My grandmother passed on the 3rd. We found out on the 5th. And here
oh, my goodness.
Is basically 5 to 6 days before my grandmother's birthday. And how much of a blessing would it be? If
but you know what? When they take one out, KL and Tiff, they bring in another one. This is your grandmother coming back to you. Whether it be male or female. It took one out, but it's bringing another one in.
Yeah. No doubt. No. Well, listen, one life gone, one life. And actually,
wow.
Grandmother could speak. One of the things that she said to Tiff and I, the last time Tiff and I were in the hospital together, because actually the last couple times I went by myself, my grandmother actually said, the Lord's going to bless you with a child, so keep doing all the things you need to do. And she said, I think.
Blessing. Oh, my goodness.
And so she basically called it, and I think when she got there to the gate, she said, listen, Lord, I'll be a problem up here if you don't grant me one more wish. And so I think she pulled on the cape a little bit and said, come on, Lord, I think this is what they need. And so I'm not mad at it at all. And we're going to do what we got to do, and we're going to honor my grandmother by doing all the things we need to do to make sure this queen is on top of her game.
Exactly. You know, that's so crazy, though, because the same thing happened with me and my ex-husband. His mother said the same thing while she was laying in his arms, dying. And lo and behold, my daughter and her birth was 1 day, 1 hour, and a year apart.
But, you know, there's something to that, because the day my grandmother passed away, actually 10 years to the same day that her sister passed away. And so my cousin reminded me that it was just his grandmother coming down to take her sister by the hand to lead
Amen.
Her home. And so there's something to that. And actually 10 years ago to the year is actually when I got divorced. So new beginning.
Wow.
New beginning seemed to follow me in the years of 3. So I don't complain. My divorce was final in 03. And now here I'm having my first child with Tiffany in 2013. So I look forward to whatever the Lord is going to bring us.
Like the song say, God is trying to tell you something.
Definitely.
There it is. There it is.
Definitely.
But I just want to say I am so happy for you guys. But my thing with this Zimmerman case and everything, I was thinking, you know, now, the Mrs. Alexander, right? You gave her 20 years. Stand your ground, law. Hey,
she fired
a shot
in the air, not at someone.
Huh?
She fired the weapon into the air, not
exactly.
Actually.
Exactly, didn't kill nobody. But you gave her 20 years?
But that's what Stephanie C. Harper was saying, that the law in itself is flawed, because she said in the case of Zimmerman and Trayvon that she believes Zimmerman had to shoot Trayvon, because once he pulled the gun out, if he didn't shoot him,
he was going to jail. And that's actually
proof. And that's a minimum.
Wow.
That's what Stephanie C. Harper was saying, is that because of the way the laws are structured, if the police show up and he's got the weapon out and Trayvon points and says, "Yo, he pointed that gun at me," it's lights out. And now remember, this is a man that went to class for staying your ground law, as well as his father is a judge.
Exactly.
He has a lineage of enough people around him to explain the laws in such a way that he knew exactly what he had to do. And so this is why I'll keep harping on the fact that we have to work on getting these laws off the books in these racist states.
True.
Because racist folks are using them.
But my thing is, KL and Tiffany, if you or I was to link up with Zimmerman right now, right? We have a confrontation, and we pull our gun out and shoot him. Are we going to not guilty?
Well, no, we're going to jail forever.
Exactly.
But that's because we live in a
exactly.
country where in certain states, this the color of our skin is going to dictate what happens to us. And then often, in many situations, the color will come into case. My partner, who was a lawyer before he got disbarred, unfortunately, we got
wow.
stopped, and just when he was a district attorney. He had to tell an officer, "My badge is in my pocket," and the officer said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And then when he pulled the badge
wow.
out, "Oh, I'm sorry." But and one of the things I asked him was, up until that point, we were just two people of color in an expensive car. So that was enough for them to pull us
my,
over.
My.
So my thought was, what happens to every other young man that's in
exactly.
an expensive car and then gets pulled? This happens often, but we have to talk about it, bring it to
and
the
surface, about it.
And we have to get educated about it. I want
yeah.
folks reading books. I want folks going to classes. I want folks registered to vote and taking active stands
exactly.
in their communities to make these changes.
Exactly. You know, that's just like I read where Judge Mathis will be in New York tomorrow.
Really?
I think it's tomorrow. Tomorrow is a Saturday. Yes. He's going to be there to speak at the rally.
Okay.
Judge Mathis about Trayvon.
Okay. I got to read that. I didn't even know that.
Actually, I have it on my page. I will go on my page and I will send you the link.
All right, definitely.
I will definitely send you the link. You know, and I just want to, always show you guys love as always.
Thank you. We're happy
and
to
let you know that, you know, I love you guys.
Thank you.
And again, I'm so happy for you. And
thank you.
Hey, can't wait till March 20th.
But we're going to I like that.
Hold on a whole week.
Sneaking that date right there. She's like, we're going for the 20th. But I want to make sure that we keep folks involved with the pregnancy.
Yes.
Because it is part of our Make Your Marriage Cool Again movement, and we do have a blog. Actually, we're going to give that out in a few minutes. T, listen, I just want to say thank you so much, and thank you for the support.
No problem.
We're going to continue. Now, tell them who you are, even though your co-host has already said. Tell them who you are and where they can find you.
Hi, I am TC with the Diva Squad, Love Fantasy, on Wednesdays from 7 to 9, where we do grown and sexy topics, the best R&B slow and slow jams, new and old. And you can always tune in, and we would be more than happy to chill and chime in with you.
Thank you so much. Same station, same
exactly. Same station, just a different time, 7 to 9.
7 to 9. So you don't even have to change your computer. Just bring up the GQ Palace iTalk. Same phone number.
Exactly.
And make sure to check them out, because the ladies do get into it and they have some fun. And I'm going to start making my effort to come to all the shows and at least say hi.
That's
and show
cool.
some support like they're doing for us. So I
That's
definitely
cool.
got to make that effort too. So, darling, thank you so
much. I love you guys.
Love you too.
All right.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
You know, we got 8 minutes left. And, you know, I went away from the breaks because I wanted to give folks an opportunity to talk. And with Stephanie C. Harper, I'm so glad that she called in, because the one thing I can say about Ms. Harper, she's thorough. And she conducts her business that way, and she's the proof of what happens when you invest in yourself. We're going to have her back on so she can tell you her whole story, because it is very, it's an incredible one in how she took a negative and just ran with the positive, and God has blessed her all the way. She's also stayed faithful to her faith, and that opened up so many doors. I want to shout out Shatik also, because Shatik says some very powerful things about education and education. And it's so important. As an educator, I have to be able to communicate, but it's not helping if I don't educate someone while I'm communicating, to be able to give you something that you can give somebody else. True education is when you can show somebody something, teach somebody how to do something, and then they have enough of the skill to teach somebody else. Because if it's not moving on, it's dying. It's stagnant, it's dying. But, baby.
Yes, love.
It's been an exciting 2 weeks. Back on the air.
We are.
So how you feeling?
We're having a baby.
You really believe that now? You wasn't believing it until you actually saw the little peanut move.
I believed it because of the changes that I'm going through. But it was nice to actually see it on the sonogram. And it was an amazing feeling.
I want to say this while you're sitting here. So everyone has read my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, and if they haven't, they better go pick it up. I talk about my children, and I talk about my past situations, but as I said to you today, for whatever reason, I didn't sit inside the doctor's office when my first wife was pregnant with our children. I was there in the delivery room, but I wasn't there doing the sonogram stuff. And with my other children, I wasn't there at their births. My two sons with my ex-wife, I was there for both of their births. And I honestly believe, and I'm speaking to the men that are listening, ladies, you can bring them back later on and let them listen to the archive, is that, men, if you want to connect with your child, start here with the connection with your woman during these visits. I was so overwhelmed looking at that sonogram and seeing that little dot, and then seeing that the rind around that dot, when he said it's strong, and the idea that I'm looking at what's going to be my child, but in a very small sack. But to hear that it's already in a healthy state, because he said, what could happen if the area around that sack wasn't in a strong looking position? So it made me feel good that even right here at this early stages, he or she, whatever, in a good place. And God is great. And I don't knock anyone's faith, because if you believe in God, he takes on many forms under many names. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing greater than seeing the start of life and know that you were a part of it. So any young man out there, there's never a bad time to reclaim your position in the lives of your children. Because if you missed this part at the beginning, go reclaim, do something. Because I will be here every step of the way till that child reaches here, young man or young woman. With my lovely wife sitting across from me. And we will share that with you here on the air. We will share it on Facebook. We want you to come by our Facebook page, Making Marriage Cool Again. We're going to be putting a lot of information about the baby and stuff like that up there. Also on our blog, makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. This is what we do. And we're definitely going to be sharing a lot of information on both our Facebook pages, author K.L. Belvin and Tiffany Braxton Belvin on Facebook, and of course Braven Publishing, which is our publishing company, because I got a feeling that now that she's going to have some time, she's going to be hopefully able to finish writing her book that she's supposed to be writing, Stop Doggy Posing, A Woman's Guide to Regaining Her Dignity. So I want to get away from the case a little bit because, you know, it hurts, but there's work to be done. I'm going to stick to this right here. I want to say thank you to the Lord for all that he's done. But now the work is required. The blessing has been given, but now the work is required. And that's what we're going to do. We want to open up the doors to anyone who wants to come exercise with us. We will be walking out of Baisley Park at the track right over near the hotel, closer to the conduit, every night from 7:30 to 8:30, except on the nights that we have the show, which is Thursday.
I'm walking too. The doctor said I could walk.
That's right. She'll be out there getting herself in shape, getting that blood pressure down so everything is healthy. And we're going to be out there making the changes necessary for both of us to be here a long time for this child. If you want to come out and join us, come on. We love to walk with you. We love to talk with you and maybe even interview you possibly for a future show. But this is what it's about, and I'm going to ask you now for your support. Raven Publishing is a company designed to create books that help folks grow from what they read, whether in poetry form, memoir form, or anything else. We're asking that you come and support what we do because these are the things that we are attempting to bring in our communities. I am going to be extremely active this coming school year with helping young men get smarter, young women get smarter in the local laws and see if I can challenge a couple of them to take on different positions inside their communities and see how we can change that. That's what I'm going to do. And that's how I'm going to honor Trayvon, is to try to make sure the young men coming up behind him can do something so other young men will not be caught in that situation that he was in. We don't know what happened out there, but we know that one man is going home and one child is not. That by itself is just completely unacceptable. This is the first night back of Reality and Relationships. We pray that you will continue to listen. We pray that you actually will tell friends to join in and listen. Also, if you want to listen to the archives, if you missed tonight's show and you want to share it with somebody, klbelbin.blogspot.com and makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com is where we'll place the archives. Please come and listen to the show over again and leave us a message if you like. Tell us what you thought, what you didn't like, whatever. But just let us know that you listened, and we'd appreciate it. So I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And, honey?
Yes, love.
What do you want to say?
Good night and God bless.
Good night.
You know I love you, right? I love you too. Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Whatever you do, my baby.
Yes. Said built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Love to you.
Put you on a rocket, love, keep on loving till we touch the sky.